Are you wondering. Now it says live. Elmer, it's so good to see you.
You too, Rain.
Hello, welcome to the Kevin Ross Emery Show with the missing Ashley Oldstein. That's her right there. Wave, Ashley, wave. Don't be thrown by the fact that Ashley says to Elmer J. Howard. Elmer is gender fluid. So Elmer is Ashley tonight.
Good. Because since we weren't live, this makes me feel like old times.
So welcome. Ashley is caught in the air with a flight change from Portugal to the U.S. Elmer is stepping in because we wanted to bring the band back together again. Welcome, band. You've got your. I've got my fan. You know, it's tough. I'm still in menopause.
Hi, Anita.
Anita says hi. So for those of you who have never watched Laughing, Loving, and Alive, you can still go to Facebook and put in Laughing, Loving, and Alive. All the old shows are there. The old shows still are pertinent. They're, you know, we had on comedians. We had on TV actors. We had musical. We had inspirational. We had it all for 3 years. So all of that is still actually in the Facebook feed. So if this is your first time meeting Rain and Elmer, we were the co-host of that podcast for 3 years. You definitely want to check it out. We can always tell when we have Rain on because we start getting highs almost immediately. I am going to start by doing a formal introduction of Rain. Let me make sure I do this correctly. My formal voice. These are in her words. I am a blues vocalist by trade, and I have been a voluntary spokesperson and fundraiser for cancer and breast cancer awareness since 1976. Which is interesting because she's only 29, which means
there you go.
1995. But who am I to question? I am also the creator of Prunes Are Sexy. Prunes make you run for breast cancer and other things. And National Prune Day, June 15th. My work is all about healing hearts through music, laughter, and prunes with the goals of creating inner wellness so our bodies can heal themselves. And to, there we go.
Oh, look at that.
It's all about, so our bodies can heal themselves to see that ugly cancer monster in a different light. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. Is that the light?
Hi, Caitlin.
You can find her at prunesaresexy.com. You can also find her on Instagram or TikTok at Prunes Are Sexy. And you can find her. Okay. On Facebook at Rain Thomas. So, Rain, before we jump in.
Do you hear a little feedback?
Huh? What?
Do you hear a little feedback?
I don't hear feedback.
Okay.
Do you hear feedback, Elmer?
I'm not hearing anything.
We're excited to have you. Okay, if you guys don't hear it, then it must not be anything.
Okay. You know, I'm always getting pushback, but that's
well, a different that's story. Part of who the three of us are.
Yeah. So to start the show, because this show starts a little differently than the last time you were on my show, I always start with a little bit of what's going on this week astrologically. What I did is I actually pulled both your astrology charts so I can tell you how it's going to affect you. Her eyes got almost as big as her glasses.
Yeah, I'm meeting some great news here.
Well, first of all, this week we have the sun has just moved into Taurus. Between now and next Thursday, it's going to be moving between 4 to 11 degrees in Taurus. And so we also have the Mercury went direct, but it's still stationary, Right now we're in it going, you know, what I like to say is this is the period where the Mercury has gone direct, but it hasn't had its first cup of coffee yet. So it's really not kind of like chugging along or stuff like that. It's kind of like coffee. So for those of you who wait till Mercury go direct to put things in action, to take all of this internal stuff that's been going on in the Mercury retrograde, I say wait till Monday. On Monday, by that point, it's had a couple of cups of coffee, a couple of Red Bulls, ordered a line of Coke, and it's all set to go.
Oh, boy.
Venus enters Taurus on 5-1. 5-1. Mark those dates on your calendar, both of you and all the audience. We have Venus enter Taurus. Mars is conjuncting Neptune, and Pluto is squaring Venus. It is a party on 5-1 with astrological shifts. As I remind people, when we do this weekly astrology, take your chart out. See where this hits your chart. Because where it hits your chart is going to tell you what area of your life it's going to affect. In this case, that sun during this week is going to get conjunct with your natal moon ring, which means a sun-moon conjunction is a lot of energy, a lot of positive energy, and it's a lot of place where you can be moving. And for you, it's going to be in the 11th house. This sun is going to be in the 11th house when you reign. All of the stuff doing it is going to be in the 11th house. When we talk about the 11th house, we talk about organizations. We talk about, you know, being of a higher mind, a higher vibration, trying to think outside of boxes and create new things. It's friends, it's hopes, it's wishes, it's dreams. You're going to have a lot of energy that is going to be taking you really for the next 3 weeks to find that things are going to start to like come together.
Yay!
You're going to have the sun hit your moon, hit your Mars, and hit your north node, hit your Venus. Your Venus is coming in, so you're going to have a Venus conjunct natal Venus, which is all about, it's called the lift of the mythic. It's about putting beauty, love, and harmony out in the world, receiving beauty, harmony, and love. This is a good time for any projects, because it's also all going to be hitting your north node. This lifetime, Rain, you are here to work with organizations in the world. That's what your astrology chart tells me. This next, from now until the middle of June, the end of May, to like maybe May 19th, May 20th, but somewhere around there. This is going to be a very high energy. There's going to be a lot of energy to take advantage of. And so this is the time to make things happen. You know, if there's a project that's installed, this is a good time to go after it. If there's some big event or some big organization that you've been courting or has been courting you, now is the time to get involved with it. This is probably going to be a time when you can really, expand your breast cancer work, your prunes or sexy work, even your creative work. But it's all going to be in the house of humanitarianism. It's going to be in the house of dealing with organizations, things like that. Okay, so that's what's coming up for you, Miss Rain. So,
yes.
Again, for those of you who heard that and go, well, that's a little deeper than what I find in the newspaper. Okay, that's because I am applying what's going on in the sky to her chart, because I did her chart. So I've never actually really done her chart. That's a very long process.
Yeah.
But this is where you should apply it. If you don't have your astrology chart, well, it's free. It's all going to be like it's written in Latin and you don't know, you know, what anything means, but that's okay. If you've had your astrology chart done, then you can apply it. If you ever want your astrology chart done, feel free to, you know, reach out to me and, you know, set up a time and we'll make that astrology chart happen. Now, Elmo, you have an opportunity coming up with what's going on to go through healing deep wounds. There is some kind of noise.
Okay, hold on a second.
Oh, was that Elmer?
He just went to go do the healing work I was talking about. You know, he's a little shy. He didn't want to do it in front of the camera. Did you have any thoughts about what I told you about astrologically?
Yes, I have lots going on. I mean, we know I've always got lots going on, but I am looking for to get that boulder over the tip because it just, I really need that. I need it to go over so that everything can just take off. Oh, but he's back. And, you know, all of that stopped when Elmer left. What happened?
I muted myself. That was SpongeBob and Dragon. So,
and nobody heard it but me, right? And I was like, okay, maybe that isn't happening.
Well, at the beginning, I wasn't hearing it. But then I was starting to hear it. And I'm like, what is going on? So, Elmer, this is coming in. And it's going to be conjuncting and hitting the energy of your Chiron. It's time for transformation. And it will be an opportunity, and it's started a couple of days ago. It's at its peak today and tomorrow, and it's going to last for 4 or 5 days, where you may find that an old childhood wound shows up and you're able to take it somewhere else. You're able to heal it better, understand it more, work with it. This is a week of death and rebirth for you, and that's energy is going to then move into your ninth house, which is when you start to challenge institutions, challenge philosophies, challenge the status quo, and push at it to actually function better. So the beginning right now, last couple of days, next couple of days, this is all about healing some part of you that actually may have been abused by an institution, by an organization, by, you know, the societal way of thinking or doing things, to heal a wound around that. But then it's going to take you into an energy. And the thing for you on May 1st, with all of this stuff going on, is your biggest thing is going to be your internal struggle, it's not going to be with the world, it's going to be within you to get to a place where you can then take yourself in a fuller form out to the world to take charge and make change for things. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So that's what's going on now. And now, rain in the desert. Albert, you get to ask the first question.
Oh boy, I'm in the hot seat. I don't think that ever happens.
Well, what popped in my mind when he said rain in the desert was because we haven't talked in forever. Are you still in Vegas?
Yes, we are still in Vegas. My husband doesn't retire for a little while, probably closer than I think. I try not to think about it because, you know, then there's the next part of the journey. So yeah, we're still here. And do I still say rain in the desert when I move somewhere else?
Where are you moving to?
Well, we're looking at like part-time Scottsdale, part-time Texas, or you're still, so it's still rain in the desert in Scottsdale. But yep, what would it be in Texas?
Well, aren't there some Texases? Are there some deserts in Texas?
Yeah, but not where we are. Not that kind of desert. What would it be like? Rain in the San Antone or something?
Oh, no, rain deserted the desert.
Oh, well, you know what? Most people, when they see, it's so weird. People will say, rain in the desert. I thought you didn't like sweets. I said, that doesn't say dessert. That says desert. So, yeah, the same look. I'm like, oh, dear.
Well, you know, you just have to tell them that they need to fix the lisp in their head.
They're putting in they wouldn't get it. That trust me. If you think that's dessert, the lisp in their head is the least of the problem. I know. Yeah.
So we're going to assume that we are introducing you to a new crowd. Though I don't know if that counts in text. How about rain in the cultural desert? That applies to several areas of Texas.
Yeah, but you know, Texans are real proud folks. They, if they're in San Antonio, as the lady said, she said, you'd have to call it San Antone. I'm like, oh, okay. So I got to get there and get familiar with what everybody is saying, right? Rain in the something. There really will be rain in the rain there.
Yeah, there you go. Rain in the rain.
The people still won't get that, right?
No. How about rain in her fabulosity?
That's like only a handful of people would get that. That's all we need, right?
Right.
We could call you Rockin' Rain.
We could do that.
Rockin' Rain.
We could call that. When the time comes, I'm going to do a contest when the time comes and we pick some place. And we're just going to, I'll come back on the show. Yes, I'm inviting myself. You all know that's not, I'm shameless begging again. We'll do a contest and have somebody throw some stuff in there and say, what do you think we should call it? Rain in the blank.
Or blank rain.
Or blank rain. Isn't it the game? What was that? Password?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Okay. I can think of a few words.
I'm sure.
I'll hold them for the, I'll hold.
Yes, hold them for the contest.
I'll hold them for the contest. What does the contest winner get?
They will probably get a prune package from me of some sort. See, putting them on their wellness journey, starting that.
Now, you do these bottles of wine at the winery every year they're part of your fundraising thing, right?
I try to keep it fresh because you all know every time you turn around, someone's like, can you donate? And a lot of times people do it once or twice, so people get tired. I've been doing this, as you know, since 1976. So every time I go out and ask for donations, I try to keep it fresh, whether it's wine or lipstick or a gala or whatever it is. So the winery that used to help me every year, they've been around for a long time. The pandemic put them out of business. I know. Lovely winery on the coast of Oregon, family. So I'm actively looking for someone who might want to get on and have some fun in a fundraiser with a prune wine. I know.
So
I see your shirt says prunes making you run. No longer prunes are sexy.
Yeah, that's at the bottom. Are you kidding me?
Prunes are sexy.com. Prunes are sexy.com. Prunes are
sexy. And thanks to California Prunes and California Prune Board, we are making some serious statements.
Yes. Are they coming with sound effects?
No, because we're doing some gut health stuff because people, you know, I'm the one who fought for years to let people know a prune is not a pitted plum. And I'm sure the California Board thought this is some kind of nut because I started writing to them in like 1980 something. And that was when there was no internet. So every time I would send them a handwritten note, I would do it on different kinds of paper. I would send a giant neon piece of paper and I would have it certified so they'd have to sign for it. I wanted to know that they received it. And they're like, this person is still doing this. So now there is an actual prune day and they've gotten involved and they found me. And finally, things are starting to take off as per your message.
So if prunes are not pitted plums, what are they?
Prunes are not pitted plums to me. You can call it whatever. I would say to them, a rose is still a rose by any other name. A prune is still a prune by every other name. But not every plum can become a prune. So you get some prune facts in there. Yeah, you have to be special and honored to make it to being a prune.
Did Did you notice that when I was posting the show out, I posted it out to all sorts of places, and somebody commented and said, prunes are not sexy.
I saw that, and I'm like, I've hired someone to go and find that person, but oh, maybe I should have said that off air.
Well, I defended your honor.
I know you did. You hear that, prune?
So tell us a little bit about what's going on with, you know, first of all, let's take a couple of minutes and introduce you, because there are going to be people here that may not have ever seen Laughing, Loving, Alive, may not have seen the couple of different times you were on the Dr. Kevin show. Tell us your connection to breast cancer.
Well, when I was 10, I had an uncle in a hospital, nothing cancer related. And, you know, that's when family would go and sit for hours with that person. And after going for hours for a few weeks, the oncology supervisor nurse asked my mom if I could do the rounds with her. So I started doing the rounds, and she would explain who was going home, what happened, you know, what cancer was. She explained everything. And as you know, I'm a pretty bright 10-year-old. So she would say, a lot of times people are looking for someone to sing a song, read them a newspaper article, maybe, you know, say something. I had a guy there who they said invented knock knock jokes. And so he always had, you know, little girl, knock knock, and just people looking to be, you know, just a little company. And I thought, well, this seems really simple for such a disease, why isn't everybody doing it? So I continued to volunteer along with some other things, Special Olympics, and I did some of the Jerry Lewis stuff. I mean, you know, MS, but I stuck with cancer and breast cancer. And by the time I got to my 20s, I just kept doing fundraisers because I thought, you know, there's got to be an answer. The same disease can't be out there attacking people all these years later. I mean, I was 10 and people are still getting this disease. Like, there's no cure. You know, where's the money going? And I started, you know, just kind of being more aggressive. And I ate prunes as a kid. That we didn't do sugar in our house. It wasn't a thing. And so prunes, you know, my family would always say they're good for your gut, you know, they're good for your health. They're good for, you know, not eating candy, bones, so on and so forth. So I love the prune. And as a musician, it was easy to get on stage. And I would say to people, I said, during the show, I'm going to be shaking down your pockets, shamelessly begging for money for cancer and breast cancer. I'd talk about whatever was going on, bringing props, singing songs, making up songs. And I'd make sure everybody got prunes at every event and at every gig, which became weird to people because they didn't get it. We didn't have social media to spread it. But when social media started, you know, it just started overlapping. And I continued my work in thinking that the prune needed a holiday because it does help with gut health and bone density. And a lot of people get that when they're having chemo or after chemo, to kind of keep you strong. So that's my connection. It doesn't run in my family, like it says everybody. Everybody dies about 1,000 years old in my family on both sides. And then in 2011, I got the diagnosis that I had breast cancer. And I thought, well, that just puts me on the other side so I can be more assertive and aggressive with my message about what we eat, wellness, health, laughter to help you healing, you know, with our Laughing, Loving, and Alive. That's, you know, was part of it. And just kind of share it with the world to take care of yourself.
Elmer, any questions?
I think he's talking to the president.
No, it's Dragon. Nothing's coming to my mind. Obviously, you know, you and I have heard these stories before, knowing Rain as long as we had. Actually, what popped in my head while you were talking was just remembering, you know, how we met and like, you know, how you're here, you know, because of the casting and stuff like that.
So, you know, one of the things is you said this over and over again about shamelessly begging. And you know, for the first time you said that and something dinged in my head, which is, why would there ever be shame in trying mm-hmm. to raise money for a good cause? Like, there is no shame there to try to help people that are struggling or having a something with like a cancer diagnosis, which, you know, besides threatening their life and changing all of their primary relationships and throwing them up in the air and all the people they affect, for even today, there are people that get these diagnoses and end up before they're finished bankrupt and losing everything they built their whole life. And so it just suddenly hit me, and I was like, why the hell should anyone be saying there should be shame?
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to say that, because it's not the first time that someone has asked me that. It's shameless, because I've been known to say things that most people don't say. I mean, you know, Elmer, Dr. Kevin, you both know that, but we're kind of the same with that. There's a message, somebody needs to hear it, and you can't hear it if it's in a whisper. And so it didn't matter to me who I asked for money or where. I went right to it. There's not a big spiel. It doesn't feel like a scam, because we all know there are a lot of scams out there, which make people cautious about donating money. But I also started, you know, the power of a penny. And I said, one penny is all you have to donate. And then people didn't believe that either. So I did this campaign with a rain boot, had a rain boot pair made. And I was at an event, and I said to everybody there, and there were only like maybe 60 people, I said, I want you to go in your cars and your purses and your pockets, and any change that's in there, I want you to throw it in this boot. I want to show you the power of a penny. And so we did that. Everybody laughed and they thought it was funny. When it was all done, we had almost $1,300 in that boot from just 60 people. And I said, the power of a penny. I said, a lot of people think when you donate, you have to donate thousands of dollars. Women and men, because men get breast cancer too, or any cancer, sometimes you don't have $5 to pay for your parking. So if you can give someone $25 for the week, they're going to get their chemo and it's $5 apart, because like you said, medical bills can bankrupt you overnight. I mean, bankrupt. $5, maybe they want lunch. They're like, oh, I can park, but I can't have lunch, or I can have lunch and I can't park. I can't pay my light bill. I can't pay for my copay. There's so many reasons why there's a power of a penny. And another thing, I think this infuriates me, and it always has, is people who say to me, oh, yeah, I'll donate later, or, oh, I keep forgetting. Those are the same people that reach out to me when something happens to them or their family. And that's not the way we're supposed to take care of ourselves.
You know, and one of the things, I'm very involved with my UU church where I'm at. And I go to stuff there, and I'm running covenant groups now and all sorts of different things. And we had a singer, a very talented singer who I'm hoping to get on the show, who came in and did a presentation called My Queer Faith. And she tells her journey of going from a hardcore, baptized twice, evangelical, up to the everything in her world, everything revolved around to it, to coming to terms with her sexuality. And then having to come out. And of course, there was no space for her in that community anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, but she had songs that she wrote that she sang along the way, where she would tell her story and then sing a song she wrote. It was a really great presentation. Kamo was her name, and I'm hoping to have her on, actually. But we were talking about people fighting for LGBTQIA, which I know is different than, you know, trying to help people, but it's all they're all fights in a way.
Right.
And she was looking at this audience, and she said, if you would just take 1 hour a day that you're playing on your computer or stream, you know, like going and doing your scrolling or watching TV, and said, I'm just going to donate 1 hour a day to do something towards trans rights or LGBTQ. I mean, in this case, this was what she was. She goes, there is 1 hour a day is 7 hours a week. There are 30 of you here. That's 210 hours of power that could be getting harnessed. And you're all just putting in an hour. Mm-hmm. And before you say you don't have time, how important is this to you? And I think it becomes more important when you know somebody who has breast cancer.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
Do you think that breast cancer lagged behind getting the attention and funding it did, it needed for as long as it did? Because it did lag behind because it was mostly women.
Right. And it still lags behind. And when a man gets breast cancer and comes out and says something, people say, oh, you've got the lady disease. You got the woman disease. I mean, you know, you take ignorance and then you twist it and make this person feel like they commanded that disease upon themselves. And we do that because it makes people feel safe that they can't get it. And I mean, even in, you know, lots of the communities with women, I talk to communities and people from all walks of life. And I've had women be angry with me and they're like, you're putting all your business in the street. Yes, because I want you to be aware and not be in fear. Because if you're informed, early detection is the key. And especially now, you know, medicine is quite a ways from where it was 30, 40 years ago, even 10 years ago. And people, you know, people like to keep it hidden. Some people are shamed by it, by their families. I mean, I know a young lady, she was 22 when she was diagnosed and her grandma and grandpa raised her. Her grandma had died. And her grandpa said, she said, I told my grandpa I have breast cancer. And he said, you have to get out. You got the whore disease. So, you know, we have to educate people and we have to learn to take care of each other and not pass judgment and, you know, look within. And that, again, became like a metaphor with the prune because people say, oh, the prune doesn't look good. Ugh, it's so ugly. I said, you know, that's why we miss a lot of goodness in life and other people. We judge the outside when all the goodness and beauty is on the inside.
Well, you know, one of the things here is that we hate the fact we're mortal. And I have done hospice work. I've been with people at their moments of death. I've helped people, you know, like be there and didn't cross over. I mean, this has all been part of some of what I've done in my 34 years of being in practice. And it, you know, and the number of people who, when it gets close, have no peace and are so afraid of what's going to happen. And no matter what religion, and in fact, some of the people that I worked with were some of the religions that you would be, I'm like, your religion says you're going to spend heaven at the right hand of God. Why would you be afraid to die? But we're afraid to die. We're afraid to get old. We always want to look like a plum. We never want to look like a prune.
That's awesome. I love that.
And that's, you know, we look at a prune and it's wrinkled. And, you know, there was a time when we thought wrinkled was beautiful, especially when people weren't living as old. If you lived old enough to get wrinkled, you must have some wisdom. You must have an in with the man upstairs, whatever, however you wanted to put it. Wrinkles were a sign of respect and stuff like this. And since the 1950s, we have made it a sin to have a wrinkle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I look at it and I go, what is a prune? It's wrinkled. No wonder everybody goes, ooh, no, it's wrinkled. I wonder if they thought that about prunes 100 years ago.
No. I mean,
your family didn't think that about prunes when you were a kid. They're like, no. It's nutritious, it's sweet, it's good for your health, you know.
Yeah.
And
I'm getting bullied.
I have prunes in my cupboard. It's one of my snack foods that I have.
It's so good for you.
Well, and they taste good. It's not even like they taste bad.
No, they're so yummy and juicy, and you can replace, you know, replace the imposter, the raisin, who's imposter. It's a small imposter.
Okay, here comes the big question, Elmer. Which do you have in your cupboard, raisins or prunes?
Neither. I don't have a woman's disease. I don't need any of those.
And those are real answers that we get from people. Real answers that we get from people. Until something happens to them, then they call me.
Right.
Yeah.
So Anita had a really good option for you.
Rain under the sun. Oh, like the prune.
Oh,
Anita
yeah.
and I have been friends since 1980. She's been there from the beginning.
There you go.
Yeah. She knows how much I love her. She's if you need someone to get in a fight with you, you just step out of the fight and send her in. I promise you. I promise you, the other person has lost.
So how is your musical acting career? As we were winding down Laughing, Loving, and Alive, every week, well, we didn't meet every week. We met twice a month. Was it twice a month? God, I think.
Yeah. So second and fourth Thursdays or something like that.
I don't even remember what day it was. I thought it was Saturdays.
No, it was Sundays. I said I could only do it if it was Sunday, because you guys approached me and asked me to be part of it. And I said, it has to be a Sunday night.
Okay, yeah. With Sundays.
Yeah, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So I didn't interfere with anything I did.
Sure.
You know, yeah. So now I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, see this? We are just where we left off.
But when we left off, we had to have two or three or four shows in a row, Elmer. Remember where she goes, I got something big coming, but I can't talk about it yet. I got something big, but I can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, eat more prunes. Get that bowel movement out.
Well, think of all the things that have happened. I mean, I was on Let's Make a Deal twice. As the big chicken, that was interesting and fun.
You went to prune?
No, because you know, people don't know what a prune is, right? They would think I was a giant raisin, and that's a whole different show. So the chicken thing, all of a sudden I was on there as a chicken, and then everybody who's known me since keeps sending me chicken stuff. So you see, I have chicken earrings and chicken t-shirts and chicken towels. Chicken. And I'm doing the national anthem here for the hockey team. People call me for funerals. I mean, some pretty popular people have passed away and they call me to sing at the funeral, which to me is an absolute honor. I released a song. Someone in Vermont actually had me do it in a studio here and release it. And it's called Upset. And it looks like it's getting great traction. Grip and his company and is front on an album, and I've been practicing on the banjo, you know, smoking banjo. Is it bad?
Where do people find this song? What's the song called again?
Upset.
And where do they find it?
People tell me they find it on like iTunes.
And this is a song you wrote and sang?
Or? No, no, you don't want me writing any songs at all. But I've seen it on like YouTube, and I think I put in, because they sent it to me, obviously, so I didn't need to look for it. But yeah, I see it's Upset, song by the Curve Breakers. And featured artist is Rain Thomas. So that's what I put in, Upset by Rain Thomas.
By the Curve Breakers.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there we go.
So that was fun. Oh, look at you. You guys, because you know me and technology. Be glad I'm on here.
Here's the scary thing. I'm doing all the technology this time.
That was scary, but you know what? I'm glad it was you, because we still wouldn't be on here.
I still don't know where the countdown button is. You're going to have to tell me later how to do the countdown button, because...
Me? You want me to tell you?
No. Elmer needs to tell me how to do the countdown button. You know, we have a 30, 29, 28 thing that counts down.
Yeah.
But I have no idea how to launch it.
Yeah. Nope.
I'll have to figure that out too, because we didn't have that when we had StreamYard.
We had a countdown, didn't we? We had a countdown at the beginning, I thought. Oh, we had the little graphic thing.
Well, I had the intro video I would put up.
Yeah, well, this is not a video, but it's an intro like flat piece. But I don't know.
I'm still puzzled that we were on Sundays.
So, but you also were on a TV show, weren't you? You had a part in a movie.
All of the above. A Seat at the Table was the talk show, which was wonderful. And then I was on Ellen DeGeneres' new show. It's a generational show, which was super fun. And now I had this beautiful woman named Galena, who's out of Los Angeles. She's a very prominent actor. She is martial artist. I mean, she's just lovely. She started producing and writing about breast cancer, a documentary. She wanted to get the word out and awareness and, of course, educating people. And we just kind of talked and she asked me to be the co-producer. So we've been working on that. And Galena was actually here about a week ago, worked on it. We're trying our best to release it for October. She's doing a lot of teasers. She's got a big team behind her. And this documentary, Blossoming Beyond, is coming. My goal is coming to a theater near you. That's my goal. Might be some obstacles because, you know, it is medical and there will be some truths in there and people are going to tell their true story. People need to know this is serious. You know, as they say, we put a man on the moon. We put several people on the moon and we still have not figured out what to do about cancer or breast cancer, and especially metastatic, because you saw I lost two friends within a couple of days from metastatic. That should never happen.
We put men on the moon, not nearly as many, not as many men who have mooned us. But
who told you my backstory?
Oh, your back is flapping out for everybody to see.
That could probably be true too. Be quiet, Anita.
Is there any? Is there any places coming up? Where, you know, like, are you still doing Fashion Week in New York?
No, I don't. Dana, who is in charge of that, I ran into her recently at Young Survivors Coalition, which was held here. And I mean, she's just blowing it up with her company, Anna Ono Intimates, for women that preferably metastatic. And thank goodness I'm not metastatic, but she is just blowing that up. It's geared towards that. That's who, you know, she's a big following. I saw her in Forbes. That's how big this is getting for her. And she's lovely. She's metastatic. I remember when she was diagnosed at 27, she said, they told her it's kind of a wrap. And here she is, like, I think she's maybe 40 and she's still here and she's still fighting on behalf of metastatic breast cancer.
Yeah. I have a client that I've been working with almost 3 years and she was in that category. And we've done a lot of stuff, but she's still here.
Yeah.
And yeah. We keep her going.
I think what is also infuriating to me is that we're losing so many young women to this disease. And you're going to tell me there's nobody out there who has a cure. We don't want to talk about wellness and health. They're just like, oh, well, let's try this. Everything seems experimental when it comes to that.
Well, I'm going to make this statement and, you know, We shifted my branding from the Dr. Kevin show to the Kevin Ross Emery show, but you've called me Dr. Kevin. And so I have to say, before I say this, though I'm a doctor, I'm not a medical doctor. I cannot diagnose, I cannot prescribe, and any and all information I receive is intuitive in nature. I want people to understand that when I say this, my belief is we have more younger people having all kinds of cancers and all kinds of health issues because we have generationally passed toxins that alter our DNA, alter our ability to fight against stuff, that introduce us into having abnormal cells that are just there waiting to get kicked on. Mm-hmm. And so our numbers grow as in direct proportion with the toxicity of the water and the food and the land and all of these other things. And so, you know, this is, I'm just making a number up, but if you needed 100,000 hits of something to naturally turn cancer on in your system, but you're being born and it's being passed through the genetics that you're coming in at 98,000, it doesn't take much.
Right. Right. And
I don't think that we are spending nearly, I don't think that we are doing nearly as much work on things, you know, like what's happening. I mean, in the alternative healing community, we look at it and go, you know, what is getting passed on? But when you bring this up, that's what I think of. I thought you'd get out of this comment. Go ahead.
I love that. That's very Anita. I'm very proud of her.
I read an article recently about the microplastics that until recently they haven't realized how much microplastics we're actually taking in, and you know they don't go away, and they actually, you know, they're finding that they're interfering with at the cellular level. They're interfering with the actual cells and how they can, and you know, and they're coming in everything. I mean, you know, you get your chicken wrapped in you know the plastic wrap at the store, it's, you know, it's transferring. They didn't realize how much plastic actually sheds. And so, you know, the water bottles we drink, you know, you're trying to save the earth by not doing the water bottles, but also you're trying to save yourself. You know what I mean? It's just that all the water bottles that we have and just everything that comes in plastics, it's just, it really easily sheds and it's staying in our bodies. And, you know, go to what Kevin was saying is, you know, yeah, how much of that are you passing on, you know, to your kids, if you've already got it built up in your system?
That's scary.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
You know, and I hate to say it this way, but diseases are much more adaptive to vaccinations and cures than humans are adaptive to passed on poisons. We evolve much slower. There's a curve and we're always behind it. And microbes and all of these, you know, different things, they seem to be ahead of the curve. Oh, this vaccination took care of me this year. Well, it's not going to take care of me next year because I've made an adjustment.
Nah, 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 nah. I love that. But that's so true. I mean, even like, you know, I did this UGC for a company that is all about getting plastics, you know, out of your home, out of your eating as much as you can. And they had me do this, I think it was a B-roll with a plastic cutting board and my knife. And, you know, all I did was just, they wanted to hear the scraping sound. And when I ran it, all I could see was just all these little curls of plastic just, you know, adhering to the knife. I thought, I'm going to be sick.
Yep.
How much of that have I put inside my body?
So, yeah, we need to go back to good old fashioned glass and wood.
You know, we do. I don't even remember the shift. I just remember one day, you know, I was making things from scratch growing up and using only, you know, the wood planks and we'd wash things down with the dishcloth. And I just remember it just started becoming more convenient. And supermarkets were small when I was younger. And one day I went to the supermarket and there were like 500 cereals in there. I'm like, when did this happen? Because, you know, we didn't eat cereal like that. So, you know, that just says I'm over 30.
Barely.
Barely. Barely.
Okay. Is there anything either one of you want to promote before we wrap the show up? Anything that's coming up for either one of you?
Yes, I want to promote National Prune Day. I had been working on it since 1988. I see it popping up on people's iPhones and calendars. Thank you, Chase Calendar, for always supporting that for me. California Prunes and I are going to do something. They're promoting it. Of course, California Prunes. They're probably like, this nut job needs this, so maybe she'll just leave us alone at some point. Marai Clinical, which I do some lives with them. Caitlin's on here, or at least she was. Caitlin and Marai Coco, it's a woman-owned, woman-run organic company, which I look at that. Joom. Is it Hume?
Joom. Hume.
June, the month after May. May, June. So I wanted to promote that. I started it so long ago because I thought, if people had something fun to look forward to on June 15th, which happens to be my birthday. So the Prune and I celebrated together. And anybody who did any kind of craft at a school or any kind of fundraiser, a portion of that would go to survivors or breast cancer and cancer patients or their families or in memorial. So when you always see me out there begging and asking and saying, please help me and please donate. The latest one, you saw my sneakers out there, they're unisex, people have been purchasing them, and they give back $30 per pair so that I can actually send mystery gifts and donations to a lot of different survivors on a lot of different levels. So please help me celebrate National Prune Day. We're going to have a movement that day, a global movement.
Elmer, anything you have to share?
We finally got the script for the Lavender Rhino. So we're going to start shopping that around and find our investors.
Is there a role in there for me?
Potentially.
Okay, I will take that. And now, you know, this is where we left off, is shameless to beg Elmer for a role in everything. Because he's such a great writer and producer. And that's how we met. I was in his short, which won like a jillion awards. So I want to get back in good with all of that talent, and Dr. Kevin, who I need to visit because your leaves are still downstairs in a jar. I'm sorry, Elmer. I'm just like so taken by both of you being here. So yes, I want to help as always.
So
yes, definitely.
We have,
yeah, I'll find you something.
Okay.
We have a major overhaul going on the house into September. So come for fall leaves.
I got to
tear up a roof, gut a kitchen, do a new kitchen, put in a new bathroom. So Elmer's going to come down in between the bathroom finish, but before the kitchen gets destructed. My recommendation is plan for late September or maybe beginning of November. October's kind of dicey because I got a lot of events going on, but we'll make time for you. We'll figure it out. You come and we'll have a hot tub and a glass of wine and a basket full of prunes waiting for you, baby.
And when you say glass of wine, you mean the one it comes in, right?
So I think I gave away my last bottle of the wine that I bought because I bought a case of your wine when you had wine that year. And I just finished giving that away.
I'm out too.
Gave some of it away. So I want to tell people, first of all, next week, where Ashley will be back, we're going to have on Amber McMahon, known as the Karma Queen. So she will be here discussing karma. Make sure you come to the Facebook page for New Hampshire Metaphysical, which sadly no longer exists, but the page is in process of changeover. We've got some spiritual interactive panels coming up. They're free. The next one is on karma in May. We have one coming in June on spiritual abuse. And we reschedule what is indigene. And that's going to be in July. So there'll be a panel. Again, the event is free. You come in, you listen to a panel of different spiritual experts giving the view on these subjects, and then you can ask questions and participate. And come to my website, kevinrossemery.com. If you'd like to know, I'm going to be doing a lot of, being out at a lot of shows out there, pounding the pavement again, so to speak, offering everything psychic readings. So if you want to see me and you're in the local area, feel free to check and see what upcoming fairs I'm going to be at. I'm going to be one May 4th in Rochester, New Hampshire. May 15th is in Haverhill, Mass. Those are the two I know off the top of my head. So make sure that, come stop by.
Haverhill, our old stopping grounds.
Our old stopping grounds, yeah. We had the Wei Chi Healing Center in Haverhill for a couple of years.
I just want to let you know, I had three people text me and they said, we can't wait to get on. We see it starts at 7.
I did not set the stream up.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was logging in. That's why I was confused about getting on. I'm like, it shows like when it was set up. So it was saying like March something. I'm like, well, that's not it. And then I knew she had been on your show before. So I'm like, that's not it. And then it said 7 p.m. I'm like, that's definitely not it. And then you said, oh, it's the bottom one. I'm like, okay, I see it. Okay.
Is there a link where I can just send this show to people? Will you send that to me and then I'll just send it out to them?
Sure. And it will be on the Dr. Kevin fan page.
Ooh.
And the YouTube channel, Facebook. Yeah, it's going to be on, because we did it live. So it's going to be embedded on those pages as well.
Yeah, just send it to me and I will send it to all the people who think that they're going to be getting on in a couple of minutes.
Okay. So, Rain, if my co-host bags out again for whatever reason, I'll reach out and say, hey, are you free? You want to come co-host with me?
I'd love that. You know that. I don't threaten me with a good time.
Elmer, thanks for helping us get the band back together again.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Okay. Everyone,
next time,
be fabulous.
Be fabulous. Bye, tribe.